What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on a Wednesday night. It's September 17th, and we are recording episode 262nd tailgate, and we are recapping Texas Tech's dominant victory over Oregon State to close out the non-conference schedule. And then we're looking at our first Big 12 conference matchup. It's a top 20 showdown. It's a big noon kickoff. It's got the whole crew from Fox going out there. It's Texas Tech versus Utah. So it's a big week for Texas Tech football. So we're going to recap what we saw in a rain-delayed game Saturday and get ready for a big one on this coming Saturday. So with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin, Texas Tech defeats Oregon State 45-14 after a long rain delay. Just after kickoff, the Red Raiders started with a three and out on defense, got the ball back, were driving, and then sure enough, here came the rain delay, and then we all went to the South Concourse, waited it out. Several beers later, several Casey Cowan announcements later, the game was finally able to restart, and the Red Raiders did not struggle to come back after this one, scoring pretty quickly to coming back from the break and then just dominating to get the 45-14 win over Oregon State, closing out the non-conference 3-0. Got yourself feeling pretty good as you get ready for Utah. What were your thoughts on the dominating victory on Saturday over the Oregon State Beavers?
Yeah, I'm glad we came out of the almost 3 hour rain delay. Like 2.5, 3 hour rain delay. And still had the same energy that we started the game with. A lot of the fans, crowd stuck around, had that same energy as well. And so, you know, we turned an afternoon game into a 5 o'clock early evening game and early evening. Kept the pressure on just like we started. And defense never let up, never let them score till the end backups were in. Offense wasn't having much trouble either. So handled this team just like I said last week, we probably will and should, and we did.
Yeah, it was nice to see. Definitely did not like the rain delay. It was not fun. To me, the crowd was so awesome at kickoff. And it just definitely sucked that it wasn't like that once the game came back. I definitely thought a lot of the crowd remained, and so it still provided a good environment. But at kick, it was pretty full in there, and it was pretty awesome opening environment. The helicopter flyover was really cool. And so it just kind of was buzzing, and then the rain delay kind of killed that buzz a little bit. But it did not kill the buzz for this Red Raider football team, as like they came out, hit a deep shot to Coy Aiken. Yep, the offense was moving the ball, setting the tone. The defense was just doing what we've come to expect them to do, which is just put pressure on the quarterback, put pressure on their offense, make them struggle, make everything a struggle to get even some sort of yardage going, not letting them run the ball on you at all, basically, and just I count this one as 45-0. I'm not going to count those 14 points that their first team scored against our like third team defense. Like I'm not.
They kept their ones in the whole game, and we had the backups and third string in the fourth quarter, and ended up, I mean, glad they scored on that team, but we basically let them score towards the end, you know.
Yeah, it was basically the game was over. We had the backups in. We had Will Hammond in. Barron still hasn't had to play a fourth quarter snap yet this season. It was an impressive performance, I thought, from this team. It was really nice to see us just take care of business this non-conference season against teams that you're way, way better than. It was nice to just not see a struggle at all. Yeah. Nice to see you go out there, just dominate a team. And sure, this is a better opponent than the teams you faced, but You still dominated them like you've been dominating these other teams. And so it was just really fun to watch because we haven't been used to that. We haven't been used to watching this team go out there and just dominate teams. And so thoroughly enjoyed the ass kicking that we provided Oregon State. Felt real bad for their fans who traveled.
I saw a lot of them actually. All this way. But yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, there was actually a decent contingency of Oregon State fans who made the trip out here. And I do feel bad for him because he came all this way and then got the weather delay and just had a much longer afternoon of getting your ass kicked by a team that you really didn't belong on the field with. And good luck next week against Oregon.
Yeah.
That one's going to go well too for you guys.
Hope they have a long anyway. Snapper by then.
Yeah. I guess they're like on a second string snapper. They had to like teach somebody. So their punt formation was like almost like a shotgun formation in a way. Like it really wasn't.
Malik Murphy had
all.
Two punts.
Malik Murphy was their punter from time to time because they were just struggling. So that team was a mess. And you did exactly what you're supposed to do with them. What are your thoughts on? Let's kind of go through the defense here. We're specifically talking about the first team defense here that gave up 0 points before exiting the game. They haven't given up a single point so far this season. Dustin, what are your thoughts on this defense? Their stats coming out today. They're the number one rated PFF defense right now. David Bailey and Romello Height are two of the top pass rushers in the country right now. They have the most pass disruptions or quarterback pressures. Right now, you got two turnovers in the last game. Bryce Pollock getting some interceptions. So, yeah, defense has been showing out. What were your thoughts on them on Saturday?
Again, the D-line just absolutely dominated. Three Red Raiders on that D-line. Lee Hunter, Romello Height, Skylar Gilhoward made the Big 12 PFF Team of the Week also. And then, yeah, those other PFF numbers, these are in the country. Most pressures on quarterbacks. David Bailey is number one in the country with 16. Romello Height not far behind with 14. And then to advance that stat even more, David Bailey has 9 quick pressures and Romello has 8, which are getting there in like less than 2.5 seconds.
First and second.
So basically snap the ball and oh shit, there's Romello Height. So they've been the ones dominating this and letting everybody else play so free, and that's why you get 2 picks. That's why you have picks in that first game. Our linebackers can kind of do whatever they want. Like they've been everything for us, and Shieldwood dialing it up as well. He's not slacking having those guys using them appropriately, and so yeah, they've been the ones that are making this thing go right now, just because of how dominant they are.
Yeah, it's been really just fun to watch them pin their ears back. I think like there's several times in the game we'll just be like, "Hey, you watch Romello, and I'll watch David Bailey," and then
usually
just,
before we're done even saying happens. The sentence, they snap the ball and have a sack.
Snap the ball and they're there. They're just so fun to watch when they're geared up together. I've really been enjoying watching them. And once again, you have 3 sacks in the game. Both Romello and David Bailey both had 1 sack. David Bailey had a really good one at the end of the half to keep the shutout alive, as Oregon State had kind of got themselves into field goal range. And then he got that sack with they had no timeouts left and time hit 0 and preserving that shutout. So they've just been really fun. Yeah, I'm really and it was nice to see them play like better competition. This is a better quarterback. This is better team than we faced, and they still are causing those same issues. And so it was just nice to see that still stay the same and just shut them down rushing. They had 8 rushing yards.
Yikes.
That's I don't think I would ever said that about a Texas Tech defense. 8 rushing yards.
Nope.
Now 281 pass yards. It did seem like they were able to move the ball on you a little bit through the air, but it was never anything that was like terrifying. No. Anything that got you concerned about the pass defense?
No.
I think sometimes we get a little over aggressive on some of our pass rushes and you can beat us with the screen. We've seen that happen a couple times. So that might be one thing. And I bet they're definitely working on that this week with Utah coming to town. But really just no nitpicks for this defense right now. They've just been so fun to watch, and they're not getting penalties either. They're really just playing good, clean football, and it's very exciting to watch. Any other thoughts on the defense?
No.
Yeah, just enjoy watching them. I'm excited to see them go up against this Utah defense and that Utah front this week, and it'll really kind of prove what kind of defense this this team has. What are your thoughts on the offense? The offense, I thought, you know, put up 45 points. Offense was clicking pretty much the entire game, was able to move the ball quite well. Barron had a really good day passing the ball. He threw for 464 yards, four touchdowns. He did have the one interception in there, but which was not a good decision on his part. But other than that, I think it was another pretty flawless offensive game. There were some penalties in there to, if you're, you know, pick some nits on this team. But your thoughts on the offense?
It was good still. I wouldn't say it was as dominating as we have felt about the first two games. Not far off from it, saying that also. A little more of a, you know, two receiver domination from your guys. Caleb and Reggie Virgil combined for three catches, so that's a little not concerning, but like you're just not used to that on the stat sheet. Like Corey was six, Terrence was six, but the kind of outlier thing, and it's two-sided. Like Jacoby Williams, seven catches for 116 and one. Unlock some stuff with him in the passing game, whether it be out of the backfield, shifting him from the backfield out, screen game, all that stuff. But get that dude the ball in space and let him work, and it's fun to watch. Now, to kind of why we have to do that so much, our run game's not great, like straight run game, you know? Now you look at the stat sheet from this. It looks okay by the end of the game, but you know, we always talk about how we use our eyes and are at the game and how it looks from there, and can't just straight up run the ball that well. You know, Cameron Dickey ends up with 77, Jacoby with 48, but still not great against a not great defensive line. So it's interesting how we're go into Big 12 play with that. My kind of thing is, you're still got two true sophomore running backs that are in this for full time and probably still figuring out how to effectively run the ball in Power Four football, you know, at the college level. Yeah. So probably got to have some more patience and vision and all that stuff. And so I'm sure by, you know, we get to November, they'll be way better as running backs running the ball than they are now. That's my only nitpick there.
Yeah, and I thought in that game you saw some progress from them. I think one of the things that they had been talking about was the patience from them, and that was one of the things that Taj Brooks was so good at, was just like waiting on the holes to be created. And I think these guys were just a little too excited and just kind of running right into the tackles. And, you know, I definitely saw it from Jacoby Williams on that one impressive screen pass that he took to the house. You know, he just waited for his lineman to get there, set up the blocks, and then ran it in, which was really fun to watch. And so I think like they're starting to focus on it, and you can kind of see some of the progressions made. But yeah, I just think maybe this isn't your strong point this season.
That's fine.
But when you're able to pass the ball like you have, when you have the weapons that you have passing the ball, it really, you know, and maybe we'll see that against Utah. We haven't needed to see it just yet, but it definitely, you don't have to rely on Taj Brooks in a running game like you've had to in the past.
Right.
It definitely feels like you have so many weapons at receiver and things that you can do with Jacoby Williams. Terrence Carter had himself a really good game as well, that you're really, you know, if you need to get this yardage, you've got multiple ways of doing it. While in the past it was like, give it to Taj and hope he gets it.
Yeah.
Like this time it really feels like you have some other weapons and opportunities to use. And it seems like Max got a pretty creative offensive mind and he's going to figure out ways to get it. I think one of the things that's impressive for me is you had multiple third and extremely longs that you were able to convert on. And this is just something to me that's exciting, because it really felt like since the Cliff days, when, you know, when he had Mahomes here, it kind of felt like it didn't matter what third and long it was. He felt like he had a shot. Just haven't felt that way in a long time. You know, with Kittley, it felt like if you got a holding penalty or something, the drive was dead. Like there was just like no way you were going to be able to convert. And so you had several opportunities where you were pushed back from offensive penalties. I think the coaching staff wasn't super appreciative of some of those penalties. I heard it was a Pac-12 crew that called the game. So that's an interesting thing, but you had several third and long, or you had a couple third and longs that you were able to convert on. You had another like first or second down and 30 that you immediately converted on with some screen passes that went to Jacoby Williams, and then a nice little fake to Jacoby Williams and hit the tight end screen to Terrence Carter, and he breaks it. So it was nice to see the offense be able to hit on those big plays and just kind of consistently be a threat to get chunk yardage. Any play, any thoughts on that?
I'm glad you brought those two up, because yeah, they were one, two, like great drawn up plays. Like the one to Carter was like a fake pitch, and then underneath tunnel screen type situation to our tight end. That's also athletic as hell. You could tell how much he was trying to score at the end by like diving 6 yards while getting clipped in the ankles. And aren't just athletes, like you mentioned, like Jacoby taking his, being patient, and all five linemen getting out in front and decking dudes. I mean, Howard Sampson runs from left tackle all the way to the right 3-yard line just to take a dude out. Like, you got linemen that are dedicated to it, and that's what's really going to set you off and make games for you. Like, you're never out of a play, and your guys are playing that way. It's like, yeah. Glad you brought those up.
Yeah, it was just it's fun to watch our offense kind of have that explosiveness again that it's really felt like it's been lacking. You know, you hit Coy Aiken on a deep touchdown pass. You hit Caleb Douglas on a deep touchdown pass where he burned the corner on him. And so you've been able to take some shots down the field, which is really fun to watch. But you also have been just doing some stuff in the screen game that actually makes the screen game pretty interesting. I feel like we've got anti-screen over the years just because they weren't very creative and it felt like we were relying on them all the time. Yeah. But screens can be good when you use them in the right way and you have the athletes in the line to be able to do that. And it seems like we've got those weapons to take advantage of those plays. So any other thoughts from this Oregon State game before we do our betting recap and open up the club?
No, let's keep it moving.
Keep it moving. Our tailgate bets recap from last week. The spread was Texas Tech -23.5. Me and Dustin both hammer that one, and we take that one to the bank. We had that one covered at halftime.
Yep.
The first half spread was -13, and we both had that one covered at halftime. We both went Texas Tech. It was a 28-0 first half. Over under was 62.5. Dustin took the under, and that one hits for him. I took the over. Went a little aggressive on my scoring, but nonetheless, we were both pretty accurate in that we thought Texas Tech was going to demolish Oregon State. We got that pretty much right. Dustin had a final score of 52-10. I had 59-13. And the last bet we did was field goals made over under 1.5. We had one field goal made in the game. So Dustin took the over there. I took the under. And so that is how our tailgate bets from the Oregon State game turned out. Before we move on to Utah, it's time to open up the club. So somebody play some damn music.
Good hit, Chester!
Somebody turn on some damn music!
All right, Dustin, Club Red is open, so let's let in some VIPs. Offensively, who's getting the nod for you for the win over Oregon State?
I think I'm going to take the easy one here, and Jacoby Williams, by far, 20 touches in this game, 164 total yards, and 2 touchdowns. Like I said, we kind of unlocked some screen game, different stuff with him, so that'll be interesting and fun to see how we use him going forward. So Jacoby can get in with my pass.
All right. I'm also going on the receiving end. I'm going Coy Aiken, who led the team in receiving in this game and broke out the scoring with a long touchdown and was real consistent for you with his hookup with Barron. And so he was just a consistent deep threat for you in this game. I thought it was really fun to watch him kind of break out in this one and top the century mark. You have two guys, and him and Jacoby Williams, who had just really fun offensive days. So I think it's worth shouting those two guys out for offensive club red VIPs. Defensive side of the ball, Dustin, who's getting the defensive VIPs for you? I kind of know one name at least.
Yeah, I mean, the easy one sticking out is Bryce Pollock. He had a great game at the corner spot, two picks and six tackles as well. So great, great game from him. He's one of those benefiting from all that upfront pressure.
Yeah, definitely one of those benefiting. Another guy that's kind of benefiting from it, and I'm going to go with him. He hasn't gotten a shout out just yet. Our defensive line's been popular in here, but I'm going to go Cole Wisniewski, who led the team in total tackles with eight, had a sack, had 1.5 tackles for loss. So I think this is the first time you kind of saw him really impacting a game. He hasn't had his, you know, to be fair to the secondary, they haven't really had a lot of opportunities yet because the defensive line just hasn't given them an opportunity. So it was kind of like their first time to really let some of the secondary shine. And you got Bryce Pollock with two picks, got Cole Wisniewski, who led the team in tackle. So go ahead and shout those guys out. But once again, the defensive line, just mighty impressive. You can basically just let them in, I think, each game if you want. And so that is our Club Red VIPs for this win over the Oregon State Beavers. And now it is time to shift our focus to what's next, and what's next could be the biggest game of the Big 12 season for the Red Raiders, depending on how things shape up. But right now it's the biggest game on the schedule because it's next up, and that's the Texas Tech Red Raiders sitting at 3-0 versus the Utah Utes, also at 3-0, kicking off at 11 a.m. on Saturday, our time. That's 10 a.m. their time. That's the big noon kickoff. You've got the big noon kickoff crew going down to Utah for this one. You've got Gus Johnson on the call. It's a big one. It's number 17 Texas Tech, number 16 Utah, a top 20 showdown for the Big 12 conference opener for the Red Raiders. Dustin, your thoughts on this upcoming matchup and this opportunity for the Red Raiders on Saturday?
Yeah, boy, is this a huge game. This could be whoever wins this.
I'm nervous, man. I've got nerves.
Favorite to win the Big 12. I don't know, maybe rematch in Arlington later. I don't know how that might work out, but that's way down the road. But like, this is huge stakes for both these teams. And what's at stake? The other thing, side note, this game's at 10 a.m. local time in Utah. That should be illegal to have to play before 11 a.m. local time. I know it's 11 a.m. for us in Lubbock, but that's stupid. But
that's very stupid.
Yeah, huge game, especially for that. Like, man, like, I'm glad Fox is having us on like super national TV type deal and having, you know, their big noon kickoff there, but I'd rather not be at 10 a.m. for the sake of our team. But I think we'll be ready to play. Yeah. And you just got a huge clash of strength on strength in this game that we'll get into in just a minute. So very, very curious to see how it goes for both teams.
Yeah, I will say probably the one blessing on this game being early is like you never know what the crowd's going to be like at that time. Okay, we've heard that that place at night is quite intimidating. So it's definitely nice to maybe have that early. Not saying the crowd's not going to be great for it. I'm sure they're going to show up. There's been a lot of trash talking on Twitter between the programs. And Utah's, after last year, they're desperately wanting to get back on track, and so this is a big opportunity for them. So I'm sure it'll be a great crowd, but day crowds are just a little bit different than night crowds.
Morning crowds,
those morning crowds are a little bit different than the 2:30 crowds. So it's just what it is. People are still waking up. It's 10 a.m. If it was still in Lubbock, I'd be asleep at 10 a.m. I would just be rolling out of bed, trying to show up to the game right out of Lubbock. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm nervous for this one. It's good to feel nerves again. It's been several years since I've felt nerves for a game. I like having that feeling back. I believe in this team. I feel like it's a good opportunity for this team to go show out and see what they're really made of. I'm really, you know, we've gotten to see them play three games now against lesser competition. And so it's a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of excitement to see really what this team's made of. Is this defense as good as they've been playing so far this season? Is the offense going to be able to take the show on the road and be able to continue to move the ball and continue to be as consistent as they've been while moving the ball? You know, what's the running game going to look like against a much better defense? What's the pass protection going to look like against a much better pass rush? What's our pass rush going to look like against one of the best offensive lines in the country? So they're just, this is a huge test. Just to, you know, we're really going to know what this football team is going to be like after this game and if they're up for the challenge. So it's exciting to be able to have a game like this. It's been so long since we've had a ranked matchup where we're a ranked team as well. I think you have to go back to maybe like 2013 since we've been ranked and played a ranked team. So it's really exciting times to be a Red Raider fan. Definitely looking forward to Saturday. Some on Utah real quick. Let's go through their team, get to know some of their familiar faces. The familiar face, or not familiar face, but the guy that you're going to hear a lot about is, of course, Devin Dampier, the quarterback for Utah, transfer from New Mexico. He's passed for 628 yards, 7 touchdowns so far this season, but he's a dual threat. He's also their leading rusher on the team with 198 yards and a touchdown. Receiving wise, they've got a guy named Davis who's got 171 yards and 1 touchdown. They're not really a huge threat through the air, I believe. They don't really have any explosive receivers. I heard Level talking about it the other day, and they have like a guy who plays secondary that they throw in on the offense from time to time to just to get like kind of some explosive plays. So I don't think you have to be too concerned about them receiver wise. They're going to be a team that's going to want to run the ball on you with Dampier and their running backs and their offensive line. That's really where they're going to try to attack you. What do you feel? How do you feel about our defense going up against a quarterback like Devin Dampier that in the past gives Texas Tech fans nightmares because he's a mobile quarterback? Do you think that's going to be fixed on Saturday, or does that still make you nervous?
I mean, yeah, he's a tough quarterback to play against no matter who you are with how mobile he is. And he, when he does scramble, he's looking to run, not just like kind of like the Mahomes extend the play to find a guy downfield. Once you got him flushed out, he's taken off. And that's why he's got almost 200 yards rushing, is their leading rusher. You're also going to hear a lot of transfer from New Mexico in this game and analysis. Yeah. Offensive coordinator from New Mexico. Their second string running back from New Mexico. Their tight end from New Mexico. So
yeah,
they had a great team in New Mexico. Good offense. Brought a lot of them up to Utah. So looks good, but I think this is where – our defense versus their offense is just way better than the opposite of that with our defense in Utah. With our offense and Utah defense, you know, I think we have a much bigger edge here because of the lack of the deep ball or any throwing, to be honest. I mean, they have a guy with 19 catches and then 11 for 112 and 10 for 52. Like, they're not chunking it around that much. And they have,
and the 10 for 52 is that corner that I was talking about.
Okay.
Their corner.
I mean, Smith's real noted. Explosive for 5.2 a touch. Yeah, great stuff there, man. I'm sure.
I think he's like a jet sweep type guy. I don't think he's
Smith Snowden, two last names. It looks like they just tried to throw screens to him. If that's the case, 10 for 52 screams a
like jet
receiver and, screen type stuff. The other thing, like in general,
but even if you're doing that, that's not good.
On this, they have also played nobody. I know we talk about we haven't played anybody either. I mean, they played UCLA in game one. UCLA might be the worst team in all Power Four for sure, and maybe all of D1. And then they play like Cal Poly and Wyoming last week, who's not that great either. I mean, Wyoming's about as equivalent as Oregon State. So like, the schedules are the same, I would say. I mean, So the fact that they haven't thrown for much against nobody doesn't scare me at all.
Yeah.
Now, the run game, I don't know if it's scary or if it's just Dampier making stuff happen. The biggest thing in this game is how does our D-line rush and contain? And then, you know, like Ben Roberts, Jacob Rodriguez, how do they fill in and also come up and hit Dampier, keep him contained as well, and try to make him throw or not get big gains, keep him to five or less, and then hit him also. Don't let him just run out of bounds. You know?
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Last two things there. Backup running backs, New Mexico kid. I don't know if I mentioned that. Their starting running back is a Washington State kid who we played last year. He's also been subtweeting some Texas Tech stuff. So, Wayshawn Parker.
Had to delete a tweet.
Yeah. So that's where I'll wrap it up at.
Yeah, I think so. The defense remembers that one. I definitely bet that tweet's gone around their locker room, hopefully. It's definitely not the same defense, Wayshawn, just to let you know. And hopefully they let him know, because one of the things we've been good at, stopping the run, stopping running backs. We haven't gone up against a mobile quarterback, so that's going to, you know, until Texas Tech stops a running quarterback, it's always going to have me pretty damn nervous. Especially like last time when we played a running quarterback, I think it was Washington State, and he just torched us, you know, for 100 yards.
Different defense, so it's like, defense all right. players. So,
but I'm with you. I think our defense just has a better chance here against their offense than their defense has against ours, just because the ways that our offense can attack you, we can run the ball when we need to, I think. And we've got so many offensive weapons. It's just who are you going to try to stop when you've got Coy Aiken, Caleb Douglas, Jacoby Williams, Reggie Virgil, Terrence Carter all out on the field. Like, somebody's going to be open pretty much every play. And that's kind of one of the things that we've seen so far this season. It just, is Barron going to hit the guy when he's open, or is he going to overthrow him by a little bit, which has kind of been like some of the issues, which haven't been even big issues really so far. So I definitely think like their passing game doesn't scare me at all. It's just, can you contain Devin Dampier? And I think one of the keys is to not overrush. I know we like to be aggressive on that, but we got to contain at the same time. And so I'm sure that's going to be a point of emphasis, is to not overrush, so where Devin Dampier can just step up and run out of the pocket, keep that contained, keep him in the pocket, and make them try to beat you in the air. Make these receivers try to beat you. They have more guys who've rushed for over 100 yards than they have guys who have received for 100 yards.
Yes.
They have two running backs over 100 yards, of course, Devin Dampier, and then they have a tight end who's also rushed the ball 12 times.
And a wide receiver with 80, so like a lot.
Yeah. So there's a team that they want to run the ball, so it's going to be a real big opportunity for your run defense here to step up and really prove what kind of run defense they can be.
And really, like, the matchup of the day is their O-line against our D-line. And they have the best O-line in the Big 12, possibly one of the best in the country. Their left tackle, Lamu, their right tackle, Fanoh, both projected to be first-round picks. Fanoh is projected like top 10 right now. He might be the best tackle in college football. And so having those two guys and like the three in the middle are really good. It's like having those tackles go up against Romello and David Bailey and, you know, Lee Hunter and that group, that's where it's going to be. Can they hold their own in the run game? And then can they win a few in the pass game?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's probably, like you said, it's one of the matchups of the day in the game. I think definitely between the defensive line and offensive line is like something that will have a lot of people tuned in. It's going to have a lot of NFL
drafts watching this one. Yes.
You got impressive guys on both sides of the ball. It's going to be really fun to watch. I don't remember any times that, or since like the Leach days, where I've been excited to watch like an offensive line versus a defensive line go at it. and our defensive line being the defensive line that I'm talking about. Those leech years, right? I was excited to watch our offensive line go against good defensive lines. So I'm really excited for this one to see how they do against this offensive line, against this rushing attack, and against this quarterback. Will be a lot of eyes on this defense and to see if they can keep up what they've been doing so far. And definitely excited to see that. Offensive side of the ball, what are your expectations as they go up against this Utah defense? This Utah team wants to be physical. They're going to try to be physical on both sides of the ball with you. Defensively, so far on the season, they've got 9 sacks, 5 of them coming from one guy, John Henry Daly. He leads the team in tackles. He leads the team in sacks. So it seems like he's going to be a guy that you're going to have to watch out for. Right now, they've got 4 interceptions on the season. They've got, looks like 1 fumble. So they have a team that turned the ball over, turned the other team over 5 times. Team that's been able to get to the backfield, cause some havoc with these quarterbacks. What are your thoughts on Mack Leftwich and this offense going up against this Utah Utes defense?
Yeah, like I kind of led off with, I think this is where we have a much bigger advantage. I think, you know, that defense against the Utah offense might be just a clash and maybe edge out, but I think we have a big advantage here. You mentioned John Henry Daly, the defensive end, is really their only guy that you got to watch for. Really have red alerts about. I mean, yeah, 5 sacks is great. Again, they're playing nobody. I'm sure Nico, yeah, like probably a few of them on Nico when he was trying to do something stupid.
So
2 sacks against UCLA. So, you know, when we were playing guys, one didn't play but a half, and also the quarterbacks were playing, you know, like Kent State, they're just trying to get rid of the ball as fast as possible. You know. So I think you can really exploit this Utah defense. The other guy to kind of mention is Jackson Beanie, their safety. He's got 2 picks on the season, so maybe he's a ball hawk out there. I don't know yet. Again, not looking into the previous 3 games as well as ours to compare these 2 teams. So can you just, you know, keep John Henry Daly down? And that's why, you know, you brought in Howard Sampson and you got Jacob Ponton, and they're talking about, I can't remember, our other tackle might play quite a bit in this game as well, and rotate them in. If you can just contain him, I think you can have a good day on maybe even on the ground, but you got so many weapons, like you mentioned. And
yeah,
I'm not worried about who's going to get the ball. It's who can execute their plays and make the catches, you know, and who can just out execute the other team in their positions, to be honest, is what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, for me, I'm really looking forward to watching the offensive line for the first time against a better competition to see how they hold up. I think one of the numbers that's kind of gone around that you've seen some Utah fans posting is Barron's like quarterback rating against pressure, which is not very good. And we're all familiar with that. And so far this year, he's been kept relatively clean, and he's also performed much better at home than on the road.
Bought some dudes.
not the same O-line. Not the same O-line. So
for that reason, like, you can't compare last year's O-line to this year's at all.
Yeah, and his health is also another big factor in that. He hasn't had time. He hasn't been healthy, and these are 2 things so far this year that he's had is a line that's kept him upright and health so far. And so I definitely think that's something I am curious about, though, with Barron is to see how he does on the road under pressure with a better defense. Like, can he keep it rolling? Does Mack Leftwich keep this offense rolling? Are you able to just kind of, or do you stumble, you know, the first time you play a defense with a heartbeat?
Yeah,
do you
stumble? Point.
Do you struggle? Does Barron look like the guy that we kind of saw sometimes last year, like at Washington State? He doesn't have Taj Brooks to bail him out this time this year, you know. He's got to get the ball into the playmaker's hands. And if he's not able to do that, then it could be long. And so that's where I'm just curious on is how has he grown as a quarterback so far this year? He's looked great to me. And I just hope that translates on the road. And so that's just kind of the two things I'm looking for is how the offensive line holds up against real good competition on the road and how Barron performs on the road against a much better defense and a much better team. And does he perform the way that he's been performing this year? Get the ball to your guys and let them go make the plays. Does he come up clutch for you in situations? All of those things. I'm very curious to see it. I'm very curious to see how Mac Leftwich calls a game on the road as well. And a game where maybe Barron does get flustered. How does he try to get confidence back in the offense? These are all things that I'll be looking for on Saturday. Just to see how this team functions, to see how the team does on the road when they maybe get punched in the mouth first. How do they respond? But any other tidbits offensively you're looking for here, or you just want to get these predictions done and get on to the weekend?
Let's get into it.
All right. So let's get into our tailgate bets for this week's game for Texas Tech and Utah. The spread coming into this one, Texas Tech is a +3.5 point underdog. Dustin, you going Texas Tech or you going Utah as the 3.5 point favorite?
Give me those points and the Red Raiders there.
Yeah, I'm going Texas Tech as well. I feel like this team, I'm starting to really believe in drinking the Kool-Aid. I feel like this is a good team. I feel like this is a good defense. I feel like it can travel. I feel like you got a lot of veteran guys, and I feel like this is a team that can go in there and win this game on Saturday. The over-under for this one is 57.5. Dustin, what are you going with? I guess we should, if you want to go ahead and give what your score is here as well.
I have the under by just a little bit. Very similar to what I did last week. And I wrote down a score of Texas Tech 34, Utah 20.
34-20. Texas Tech gets the win over Utah. I think this is going to be, I'm very similar to you here score-wise. Going 38-20.
Ooh, even more points. I wrote down 37 and scratched it out just because I was like, man, I don't know, 37 in this first Big 12 game might be too much. So I took a field goal off.
I just think our defense is legit. I think it's the real deal. I think them, you know, we haven't played anybody good, but they did what they were supposed to, which was just completely dominate those teams. And I don't fear Utah's offense enough to make me really think that they're going to just completely make us look like fools on defense. And offensively, I believe in Barron. I believe in Barron, and I believe in Mac Leftwich and these weapons to be able to go on the road and against the team that hasn't seen this kind of offense yet this season. So I'm kind of feeling Texas Tech, feeling pretty good about it. So Dustin's going 34-20 Texas Tech. So he is taking the under. I am going 38-20. So I am just a tick above the over of 57.5 at 58 points. Dustin, the first half spreads, Texas Tech +2, both with our scores and everything we've said so far. I'm assuming that we're both going Texas Tech +2 at half, or are you thinking maybe this is a Tech second half comeback?
You bet. I think maybe I think we lead 80% of this game. Maybe Utah gets out the ball first and scores or something like that, or it's 10-7, somewhere like that. But after that, I think once we get into the flow of the game, I think we start to take over.
Yeah, I could see this one maybe being tied at half, but that's kind of like I expect us to either be winning or tied. It's kind of like what I expect in this one. All right, trying to throw in like a fun bet for each game here. Last week we did over under field goals. This week let's do the highest scoring quarter between both teams, Dustin. So we're going highest scoring quarter. Which your prediction for this one?
For both teams is hard.
Yeah.
I still want to say second quarter, mainly because if all I have said in this prediction is true. I think we set a lot up in that first half, and then second quarter, Mac Leftwich kind of finds the holes in what he has set up, gets some shots or exploits some screens type stuff, and we catch on to them before they can go make some halftime adjustments. And so I'm going second there.
I was thinking second, but I think I'm, but since you said second, I don't want to just do the same thing. I think I'm going to adjust to the fourth. I think this is a game that might be a little close up until the fourth. I think we kind of like create some separation and really like put the nail in the coffin there. Like I'm thinking, you know, I've got us 38-20. I'm thinking maybe it's like 24-20 heading into the fourth, and then you just go off, score a couple or whatever, and just score and kind of end up getting that healthy lead there to end the game and eventually win the game against Utah. All right, so our tailgate bets for this week spread. Texas Tech is a 3.5-point dog. Me and Dustin are both taking Texas Tech plus 3.5. Over under 57.5. Dustin is taking the under. I am taking the over. First half spread, Texas Tech is a 2.5-point underdog. We are both taking Texas Tech plus 2.5 there. In the highest scoring quarter, Dustin's going with the second quarter. I am going with the fourth quarter. So that does it for our Texas Tech football coverage for this week. Excited for a big one, an early one on Saturday, especially if you're out there going to the Utah game, a really early one for you. We hope that you know, wake up, have a good breakfast, enjoy your little bit of tailgating out in Salt Lake City before hitting up the game, the early game, and hopefully rooting on the Red Raiders to get a win on Saturday and move to 4-0 and 1-0 in conference and really make a statement this season for the Red Raiders. Big one on Saturday. But before we get out of here for the week, let's go ahead and do our final shots for the week. Dustin, final shots, what you got for us?
Just a quick NFL rundown from week two. Cowboys game was super exciting. You can catch that against the Giants. Comeback, 60-some yard field goal. Luckily, they have the best field goal kicker in the league. Tied it at the buzzer and then won it at the very end of overtime with another field goal. But giving up that many points to old-ass Russell Wilson and almost nobody else on that team is pretty pathetic. So I stand by it. Don't expect much else this year from them.
Yeah. All you had to cover was Malik Nabers, and they couldn't do that.
Yeah. And they let Wandale go off and Scadabo look good. And all those guys are like on everybody's fantasy radar all of a sudden. I'm like, I'm not falling for the Cowboys defense trick.
No.
And then it sucks Joe Burrow got hurt as well and is pretty much out for the season.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks. The Packers look really good with Mike Parsons back there. The Chiefs are 0-2. That's not great. The Tush Push is
illegal.
I think it's got to be the last year of the Tush Push. Like, that's just it's stupid. I think it's one thing to be able to do the Tush Push. I'm not against that. But you're also, like, the Eagles obviously have an advantage with it. But you're also now allowing them to just false start every time before they do it. They're, like, halfway across the line before the ball.
They're not lined up right. Like, they're false starting, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's just frustrating to watch, especially if you're rooting against them. If you're an Eagles fan, I'm sure you love it, but... And I'm sure there's no grief towards Chiefs fans because of all the calls that they've got.
The Chiefs will be fine. They had a tough first two games. They'll figure it out. They'll get Xavier back. They'll get Rashee Rice back. It's not, you know, everything's down in the dumps.
Not over, they'll still be.
Just yet. And, like, part of my take was talking earlier, like, the AFC is very top-loaded and, like, there's no one beyond there's that, no one in the middle to like keep them out of the playoffs most likely.
Yeah, it's really like it could be that entire division. You could see maybe making it maybe minus the Raiders, but like the Chargers look really good. The Broncos look like they're going to be good. But yeah, other than that, it's just kind of the Ravens and
the Bills
and the Bills. And then everybody else is like, who? Yeah. the Dolphins are garbage. They're probably going to fire their coach.
Yeah, soon. He's probably the first firing of the year already on getting hot on the seat.
If Thursday, which feels like it's going to be just an absolute embarrassment for the Dolphins on national TV, they
tomorrow?
Got the extra long week to do it. Yeah, they play tomorrow night. No. So yeah, against the Bills Buffalo. So that's not going to go well at all. I'm just going to piggyback off you for NFL NFL stuff going on. Other than that, it's just a fun time of year. You got college football going on Saturdays, fun games. A&M pulling off the win over Notre Dame at the last second was pretty crazy. And then Sunday football it's been fun. It's been entertaining games, especially in those 1 o'clock hours, just coming down to the witching hour has been pretty wild the first 2 weeks. This one you had the Giants Cowboys going back and forth. But yeah, so that will do it for us this week here at Tailgate Talks. We hope that you guys have a good, safe weekend. Enjoy watching the Texas Tech Red Raiders get after it on Saturday morning. Hopefully get that dub in Salt Lake City. Hope you guys have a good weekend. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.